This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
Welcome to the Stock Day Media Podcast. I'm your host, Severt Copley, filling in for Everett Jolly. I'm excited to bring you a new company today. They're a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company focused on the development and commercialization of the investigational therapy Haduvio. Their name is Trevi Therapeutics, Inc. They trade on NASDAQ under the ticker symbol TRVI. And with us today is Ms. Jennifer Good, co-founder, CEO, president, and director of the company. Jennifer, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sever. I appreciate you inviting me to come on.
Now, Jennifer, could you give us a look into Trevi Therapeutics and your pipeline therapy, Haduvio? As I understand, there is a novelty to it, as it acts as a mixed agonist, antagonist, or in layman's terms, blocker and activator to opioid receptors. So could you please shed some light on what this all means? What does the therapy do? And also, who are you hoping to help with it?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And being one of the two co-founders of the company, I started this company with a neurologist. We were interested in exploring this molecule for very specific reasons. So just a little tutorial. This broadly is in the opioid class of drugs, but interestingly, it's what's called a mixed agonist-antagonist. This class of drugs was actually designed in the category to deal with this whole drug addiction problem. So you get the benefits of opioids, which we all know they have good efficacy, they work well, good long-term safety. The obvious problem was the addiction and likability of the drugs. Because of the mechanism of our drug, it actually blocks that mu receptor, which is, you know, things like morphine, fentanyl. Those are all mu agonists, so they're agonizing that receptor. We're actually blocking that receptor and agonizing at kappa, which doesn't have the same sort of likability characteristics. So I would say Tom and I, who's my neurology co-founder, I was really interested in the molecule sort of for the reasons that I knew it had efficacy associated with it, at least in pain conditions, and didn't seem to have the addiction profile that was sort of plaguing this part of this class of drugs. I would say Tom was interested in this molecule because of its ability to work on both receptors, mu and kappa. And there's a lot of neurobiology crosstalk that goes on between those two receptors in different disease states. And, you know, we have a little body chart in our presentation that shows where the system's active in the body, and it's the brain stem, which mediates coughing and breathing, the skin and peripheral nerves in the skin, and the nerves and peripheral nerves in the lungs. So we focused on severe conditions. One is severe cough and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which happy to talk more about, and severe pruritus in a dermatologic condition called prurigo nodularis. So if you think about where these receptors are located in the body, that's skin and lung and then signaling up to the brain, we work both centrally and peripherally. So we started Trevi with really the sole goal of exploring this mechanism in very serious conditions that had no approved therapies.
That's amazing. Now, could you actually talk about these medical conditions and the cough you have mentioned? I'm sorry if I can't actually pronounce the name, but could you talk about these medical conditions that you're hoping to address with this drug?
Yeah. So the first condition, chronic cough and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF. So I'll give you the little cheat name so they're easier to say. IPF is an end-of-life disease. It's really a progressive fibrotic scarring of the lungs. People that get diagnosed with IPF typically only live 2 to 5 years. So it's actually worse than a cancer diagnosis. And it's progressive. So it just keeps getting worse and worse. Typically, one of the first things to present in this disease is a coughing, and the cough gets worse throughout the disease. And, you know, on average, these people can cough 200 to 500 times a day, but we had somebody in our study that coughed 1,500 times a day. So things like walking upstairs, having a phone conversation, those can trigger these really severe bouts of coughing. So our belief is, and we just put out really compelling data where we were able to reduce cough by 77% on average in these people. And the drug literally worked in every person. And if you're thinking, if you're that person coughing 1,500 times a day and we can take your cough down, you know, roughly 75%, that's making a meaningful difference on your life. So we believe it also leads to underlying progressing of the disease through the micro-tearing in the lungs. People are getting sort of decompensated because they're not getting out and walking and being active. So we think it's not only treating the most severe symptom, that it has an ability to actually impact the underlying disease. So that's one indication. The other indication is prurigo nodularis, or PN. And again, focusing on its most severe symptom, which is just this unrelenting urge to scratch. And you get these nodules on your skin that are very pruritic. They keep spreading, and it sets into this itch-scratch cycle, which actually becomes neurological. It's sort of this whole hypersensitization, like cough is actually, where you're just scratching. And so what we're trying to do is interrupt that signal and give these people the opportunity to not feel that urge to scratch, and their skin can heal. And we just put out, again, really compelling data on our ability to reduce itch and actually saw skin healing through our study as well as an overall improvement in quality of life.
Saw that, and you're actually on the phase 3 study for prurigo nodularis, correct?
Yes, so we just ran the first of what we believe is 2 pivotal studies, and we'll go in and talk to FDA and then hopefully be able to conduct the last trial and then be able to file for this indication.
That sounds amazing. Now, speaking about the near-term future of the company, you touched on this a little bit, but what major catalysts are we looking at for this year and 2023?
Yeah, so it's a busy clinical year for us. So in our cough program, actually that data I mentioned to you was an interim analysis that we did when there was roughly 26 patients in total, and the study was already statistically significant. So we were able to wind that to a close, but we did have active patients in the study. So during the third quarter, we will report out the full trial results on the rest of the patients and some other endpoints that we didn't have at the interim read. So that's an important effort we have going on. We also have scheduled a meeting with the FDA in the third quarter on that program to come to agreement on the study protocol, which we've put in draft to the agency. In parallel, our clinical team is all geared up on getting us ready to get back into that next trial, which we are designing as one of the 2 pivotal trials. So we hope to be able to start by early next year. So a lot of activity in that program. Our PN trial, we just read out, so we're getting all the data and putting that together to request a meeting with the FDA as well. And we'll also gear up to get back into the clinic by early next year. So a lot of activity. In parallel to that, I would say we are also looking at other indications. There are many, many things that cause cough and pruritus. And so we're a small company. We can't take on sort of all the multitude of things that cause that, but we probably can add on 1 or 2 other indications. So we're doing a lot of evaluation on that and deciding what else we might want to add to the portfolio.
I want to ask, why does management believe that commercializing and developing Haduvio will be a success?
Yeah, so we have purposely picked conditions that have high unmet need. They're very burdensome to the patient, and there's no approved therapy. So I think when you can bring these patients therapy options that improve dramatically their overall quality of life and also hopefully alter the underlying disease progression, we think that's something that's very valuable to patients. So we're optimistic about that. And we're working in categories where there's been a lot of failures. They're difficult areas, and so people have tried and failed here. And so we think we have something special.
That sounds amazing. Now, Jennifer, before we end the show, do you have any message for your stockholders and our listeners today?
Amazing time to look at TRVI. We've come off a really tough biotech market, as many people probably know. There are signs that maybe that's improving. But we did just come out of that and reported out both trials very positive, I think validating the mechanism. We also were able to raise a bit of money. We didn't set out to do that, but we had a lot of inbound interest from really good biotech investors in the space. So we're adequately capitalized. We last disclosed we had cash through early 2024. So we're sitting here with a drug that's read out two positive trials in high unmet needs, and we've got enough capital to continue forward and get these trials going and read out data. So it's a good time to look at it. Like a lot of companies in the space, the stock price has been depressed just sort of through this journey, although we've had a nice run this year. But it's worth taking a look at, I think.
Fantastic. Ms. Jennifer Good, she is the co-founder, CEO, president, and director of Trevi Therapeutics, Inc. They trade on NASDAQ under the ticker symbol TRVI. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hopefully, we'll talk again in 45 to 55 days for an update.
Thank you, Sever.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.